But it's all quiet on the radio front tonight.
I don't, because no one's listening.
Actually, I should have said nobody called.
I don't think anyone
called. My beautiful, darling wife called, who I'm sure is listening now, so I had to say that, or else she'd say, what do you mean, nobody?
Oh, Joyce, you want to go to Philadelphia with me tomorrow?
Yeah. Jeff is actually flying on a plane tomorrow. He's going to Las Vegas. He loves Las Vegas.
Viva Jeff Goodman.
He's got a cool hotel deal, because he was there a couple weeks ago, and they're comping.
Because Sam's
stuff.
Club likes me, and I
Sam's
like Sam's Club.
Club. So
I mean, Sam's Town. Sam's Club is the Walmart thing.
Sorry. Sam's Town Hotel. It's a little casino off the Strip, and that's why they...
It's a lovely little casino. It's like the best casino in Vegas. Best place to gamble. I love it.
This is not a commercial. It's just they did nice things for Jeff. So
yeah,
they
were so
nice.
Nice. And they invited me. I'm in a free slot tournament.
Ooh.
So I have to tell you how I do. But I'm a winner anyway. As soon as I get there, not only do I get the three free nights, they give me a $50 gas card.
$50? Oh, my God. That'll take you about 4 miles in your car.
Thank you very much. And guess who's walking home tonight?
Hey, I have my bike. If I start biking now, I could get home by about 9 in the morning. But anywho, how did we get on this? Oh, I was just going back to baseball.
No, I asked your wife if she wanted to go to Philly.
Oh, well, by airplane. The weird thing is she's going to be taking an Amtrak train to Philadelphia tomorrow. And I don't know, I think she gets with her discount and student advantage or whatever you call it, somewhere between $38 and $45 for a one-way ticket to Philly, which I still think is pretty expensive. You can take a bus there for 20 or 25 bucks. But if she wanted to take an airplane from... Stop doing that to the microphone. If she wanted to take an airplane to Philadelphia...
You made it sound like I'm doing something horrible.
Well, you're rubbing your lips against
my lip is itchy.
So use your hand. Other people have to use that fuzzy mic thing. It's gross.
Sorry.
They're going to get, like, your gonorrhea or something, or whatever else you have.
I don't have gonorrhea.
I'm like, I tested you and I can trust that.
Yeah, you can trust
Sounds
that.
Sounds like you've got...
I haven't had sex in ages. We can...
Okay, thanks for sharing, Jeff Goodman.
Well, if someone likes to have sex with me, please call 888-8811.
Now, this is not prostitution because it's free. He'll pay, well, if he pays you, it is prostitution. Oh, no, it is free. Completely free. Sex with Jeff Goodman, ladies and gentlemen. Call now, 631-888-8811. What? Oh, my God. We have a caller. Hold on.
Really?
Hello? Hello? May I speak to Jeff Goodman, please? Who's calling? I'm a lonely, lonely man, and Jeff sounds like a very nice guy. Jeffy, hello? Would you like to make sweet love with me?
Sure, why not?
Oh, boy. Oh, have you ever had love with a man with no legs before?
Stumpy, is that you?
No, I have my legs. It was just a theoretical question. And I'm fine. I got all of my limbs. Oh, yes.
Do you have teeth?
Yes. I have
Too
to
bad.
Go get them from the bathroom.
Good, though. Leave them. It's better that way.
Oh, I like you. You're naughty. You're a naughty boy. What do you find romantic?
Nothing.
You don't find anything romantic? What's nice and you like to hold hands in the rain?
No.
You like to hold hands in the sunshine?
No.
Like to hold genitals anywhere?
Anywhere is fine.
You're my kind of guy, Jeffrey. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, what's your name?
My name is Alfonso, and I'm calling from the Bronx.
And how old are you?
I am 87 years young.
Oh, wonderful.
I am in perfect working order.
Well, we'll find that out soon, won't we, Alfonso?
Yes, you will. I sure hope so.
Is your last name Ribeiro?
No. No. No.
Do you smoke?
Never in my life, but I drink to excess.
Oh, I drink to excess all the time.
Oh, goody. You
Here's the excess.
I bring some tequila, but you're the one who'll have to eat the worm. You there, Jeff?
I'm just dumbfounded.
Oh, well, I'm glad you found it me. I'm not that dumb, though. I can still get around. That's a terrible joke. So, Jeff, what is your idea of a perfect date?
Let's see. Feed me.
Yeah.
I can't say the next
word.
No, I don't think
you can. You can think it, though.
Okay, think about the next two actions.
And what kind of restaurant should I we go to for a nice meal?
One where you pay the bill.
Oh, that's fine by me. But as long as you know how to change the colostomy bag, I think we'll get along just fine.
But I thought you were in 100% perfect health.
Yes, but my nurse has a colostomy bag. I'm fine, but my family makes me have a nurse with me. But
male
my nurse
female.
Is 97. I don't understand it either. I can't,
male
I
or female nurse?
Male. He's a very nice guy. We've had him for years. But he's in worse shape than I am. But it's nice to have the company.
We could just kill him.
No, never.
And what's it? Oh, does he have sex with you too?
No, he can't. That would kill him. Probably kill me too. But what a way to go.
Do you have any relatives in your will?
No. So this date could mean a lot. If you're nice to
How much could it mean?
Oh, several hundred dollars.
Over the course of...
And my 8-track collection. Oh, I've got Guy Lombardo, the Captain Antoniel, and very early NWA. Really quite an assortment. You'd be amazed.
Do you have the Shields and Ornella album?
Oh, no, but I have the Marcel Marceau album. It's marvelous. Mm. It's good for meditation. You put it on, and you drift off to sleep. I never sleep more than 2 hours at a time because I always am afraid I'm dead. So I wake myself up and I touch my head. I'm like, alive! And I go back to sleep happy. It wasn't funny. It was just a riff. Well, Alfonso?
Yes?
It's been a delight having you on this pre-show on the Little Big Time here. So if I put you on hold... you and Jeff can coordinate when you'll have your day.
Oh, that would be lovely.
And so make sure, you give me your address and your
phone
number.
Are you sure you wouldn't want to date Dave?
Well, I'm kind of taken, Jeff.
Well, she's off to Philadelphia tomorrow.
You know? Well, why don't you try Alfonso out?
And maybe we'll make it a threesome. What do you think of that, Alfonso?
I don't think my heart could take it. My genitals could.
All right, Alfonso, I'm just going to put you on hold right now. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight!
Okay, so your business proposal has been typed, proofread, photoshopped, and given a nice cover. Now, all you need is 20 spiral-bound copies plus 1,000 printings of your latest brochure. Your Xerox can't do it. Your mailroom can't do it. Hewlett Minuteman Press can do it all. Your one-stop printing shop, Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Open 6 days a week, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Family-owned Minuteman, their service can't be duplicated. Yes, Minuteman Press, ladies and gentlemen, on Dave's Gone By. Sorry, I normally go right from our intro music right into the intro.
But I kind of like the commercial there.
Okay.
It gets it out of the way, and I kind of heard about the 10%. I heard you say 10% off.
10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners at Hewlett Minuteman Press. But I do need to say that you're listening to Dave's Gone By with me, Dave Lefkowitz, also my great co-host, Jeff Goodman. And the reason that we had that kind of flip-flop of the commercial is I had to get the camera started.
I'm ill at ease with a camera here.
Ooh, why are you uneasy about it?
Because it watches my every move. And I'm in profile.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's a wide-angle lens. Ha,
good
ha,
evening.
And the reason that we're doing this, I'm going to get this out of the way right up front because I want to tell everybody and remind them, because we usually wait until later in the show to tell everybody this, but this is the week that two different programs, television programs, based on this show, go on the air on Cablevision.
Wait, can I give a preview?
Yeah. Well, let me explain what one of the shows is. You can play
okay,
the
go ahead.
Play the theme of
the first one. Well, it takes time because someone didn't load it onto YouTube just perfectly.
Oops. Oh, well, yeah. If there's that lead time. They need 30 seconds of black before the... Here we go. Pull your... Not sure if people can hear that. Maybe a little bit in the background. Oh, yeah. That is the theme song of Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Sol Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour, which is only a half hour, and it begins programming on Cablevision of Long Island this Wednesday morning at 7:30. 7:30, Channel 20 on your Cablevision dial, 7:30 in the morning, starting this Wednesday, October 3rd.
It's kind of like your version of Sunrise Semester, isn't it?
You remember Sunrise Semester. I used to love that show. I was a kid. I always thought I was going to learn everything in the whole wide universe. I wanted to, I was soaking up knowledge at that age. I thought, wow, all these kids in school, they're learning stuff, and I'm going to learn all this extra thing for adults because I'm watching Sunrise Semester, and they're going to teach me all this college stuff. I mean, I'm like 8. I was trying to watch and be smarter than everybody else by watching that show.
And meanwhile, he just became more Catholic.
This is actually more like Sunrise Sunset Semester, in a way.
You know, I'm just waiting. I'm really hoping for the claymation Davy and Goliath hour. I got, gee, Davy.
What? No, Goliath?
Davy and Goliath?
Of course I remember Davy and Goliath. Davy? How can Jesus get me my testicles back? I don't know, Goliath. We had to have you spayed.
Let's ask Dad.
What was his name? Mr. Something.
No, his name was Dad, wasn't it?
Well, no, there was a family. It was Davy and Sally was the sister, and
I
forget the parents' names. And then, of course, the dog. The dog was Goliath.
Yes.
Davy.
But it was really bad claymation because they just didn't walk fluidly.
Yeah, but it didn't matter.
Yeah, let's go see my friends. They're playing games. Oh, let's throw snowballs at people. Oh, no, we shouldn't do that.
I liked it. I watched. And I had no idea that it was in Christian indoctrination either. No idea. I just thought it was, claymation stuff. And when they started talking about Jesus, I'm like, oh, well, I guess they're a Christian
family.
You
just
so
think
what?
You're Jewish.
Yeah,
really,
right.
You've been indoctrinated into Christianity.
Well, no, finally, now if you put on cartoons on Channel 2 on Saturday afternoon, not in the morning, but there's a Jewish family cartoon now. It's not claymation, but there's a very definitely Jewish kid with a Jewish family running around. I think Rugrats was also... they made a specifically Jewish family. I could be wrong about that. But you're not going to find a more Jewish
that
program.
That would have been the Rugrats themes.
You're not going to... The Rugratsowitzes. But you're not going to find a more Jewish program in the world than Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Sol Solomon's... What was that? I remember banging on the...
It was nothing.
Okay. I know, I don't get it.
Well, your viewers know, and you're the only one who doesn't know.
That's right. The other thing I forgot to mention was...
The camera's here, yeah. So it's our secret.
That's right. Give the TV viewers something extra visual. This, what we're taping tonight, is not
really?
Part of Shalom Dammit, the rabbi half-hour hour. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Jeff... Will you do this? Will you do this for your public?
What?
Jeff is going to lift his shirt for the camera.
I did it just a little bit for Bob Barker.
No, but do it a little. I mean, show the goods. Is he? He's turning to the. Oh,
I
come
can't.
On! Oh, I made you.
I can't. I feel like I'm in Fame. I'm going to cry.
Oh, come on, come on! Please, for me.
What was the name in Fame? Was it Tiffany or Taffy?
Which one?
Remember the little girl? Take off your shirt for the camera.
Oh, I mean Kara, that character. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and she did, It's like, okay.
And then she was a one-hit wonder, so no, I think I'll keep my shirt on.
Oh.
Maybe next time.
Something to give people the reason, like tease them a little bit.
Give a little promo.
Because you show all the skin now. There's no reason to tune into the second episode. But actually, the first episode is already shot. I should mention again that not only is Shalom Gamut premiering this Wednesday morning at 7:30, but
unbelievably,
on Friday mornings at 7:30, it's Dave's Gone By on TV. That's a totally different program. That's one I'm
it's
actually...
It's totally different, only it's exactly the same.
No, totally. Like, Shalom Damick is the rabbi's show. I'm just the director. And sometimes I edit some of the stuff
no,
the rabbi
Dave's
writes.
No, but Dave's Gone By on TV is this.
This, what we're taping
with
right
this.
Now, is Dave's Gone By on TV. Which will have half-hour segments of the program. What?
Do you have any idea what
it's
that is?
It's you hitting the glass. I'm not sure why.
No, it's not. Watch. Ready?
Kicking. You're kicking the glass. Well, very good. What is that? I don't know what it is. It's not particularly funny, but whatever.
It's
another TV thing that we're doing. You know, we're still on the radio here. We still have to do some audio. We can't get too tied up with the camera being there. So I just want to tell everybody.
Is there a camera there?
Oh, God. Oh, God. I've made a ham of like, I think I've far to go to do that. But everybody, Wednesday, Shalom Dammit.
And by the way, you're dressed beautifully for TV.
Oh, my God. I've had my shirt off all day because it's so warm in the damn studio. And I like to settle in. I forgot to put my shirt on. And also white, which is the worst color except for stripes to wear on camera. Well, I guess I look pretty cute in a T-shirt. But once we get to the first commercial, I'll throw something on.
Guess again, Dave.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, that kind of day, that kind of night. You know, as soon as the Mets lost, all my sartorial splendor went to hell.
Damn
so,
it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have to roll on. So, again, reminding everybody about those TV shows. Wednesday, Friday morning, both at 7:30 a.m., Channel 20 on Cablevision. One is a show with the rabbi. The other is segments of Dave's Gone By from current times and all the way back from 5 years ago, right on your TV sets.
And even get a little backstage, you know, get to know what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly. You get to see me in a T-shirt. Oh, stop that. Stop that now. But you know what we have to start? We have to start the show because we've got a cool guest. We have Dave Prager.
I heard he's full of it.
And he would take that as a compliment. You know why?
Yes.
He's an expert. Well, you do, because I told you in the last half hour what his specialty. Well, why don't you tell everybody then?
He's a poop aficionado.
Yeah. In a slightly more serious way than that. He's an expert in waste management and how the whole range of civilization as we know it was often shaped by the way it discards waste. Everything from inventing the indoor toilet to what we do to get rid of our waste now in such an industrialized world. All right, I'm making that sound boring. He also loves to talk about poop, because who doesn't? So ladies and gentlemen, we have an expert on poop.
We have Mr. Poopowitz.
He wrote the book called Poop Culture. I almost said Pope Culture. It's a little different. Poop
well,
culture.
The Pope may be full of poop, too.
Well, when we have a Nazi Pope, so it might as well be.
Catch him on a bad day.
It's like in his little Pope mobile. Like, I'm sorry, I left a stain. Ew. Dave Prager, a guest in the neighborhood in just a few minutes. Also, we'll be
He's
talking about Broadway. Yeah, we'll have two Daves tonight.
It's a bi Dave.
Bi-Daveable. Dave. I don't know. Anyway.
We'll have dueling Davids.
Inside Broadway, we'll be talking about some Broadway news. And yes, if there's time, we will once again do a little post-mortem about the baseball team.
Formerly known as the Mets.
I mean, it's being a Mets fan
is
always having to say you're sorry. It really is. You know?
I think they should change their name.
To the Mutts what?
To the New York Unbelievables.
Well, but there were the Amazons. They had an amazing crash, if you think about it. Something else, something like the
Why
Chokers.
They just call themselves the New York Stock Market.
No, because the stock market has high points. Anyway, we'll be back.
It's time for a carnival.
This is what baseball should sound like.
And what has it been said?
Well, I mean, instead of who let the dogs out. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've had enough poop from the New York Mets, some crappy play. and they were consigning them to the dung heap of history, but we're having a different kind of poop.
Dave's
on
having
tonight.
No time with his segues. Dave's a little stopped up with segues.
So
you will have a little segue blockage there.
It's Constipation Nation on Dave's Gone By, but we'll rectify that. We'll rectify it right after this with Dave Prager. Well, I've got the real poop for you. I mean, so a lot of these shows, this TMZ, this Entertainment Tonight, they think that they've got the poop. But I've got the scoop on poop, quite literally, tonight. Because my guest is a fellow named Dave Prager. He is an author. And the topic that he chose to write about is not his childhood, and it's not a historical romance, and it's not about World War II fighter pilots. No, he looked deep within himself and, well, really kind of between his knees for the topic of the book, which is called Poop Culture, How America is Shaped by Its Grossest National Product. I love that subtitle. Poop Culture, it's a book all about going to the bathroom, its ramifications, its rumpifications, if you will, how we've treated fecal matters over the past bunch of centuries, and minutia, trivia, and also some rather important serious stuff, all about our little brown friends. And may I just say, Mr. Prager, howdy ho, and welcome to Dave's Gone By.
That's spot on. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If I have a spot on, I've got to wipe that off on this conversation. But anyway.
All right.
Obvious question first. Of all the topics in the whole wide world, why an entire book about feces?
Well, the answer I give on radio shows is that I wanted to write about the most important subject in the world. This is clearly the most important subject in the world.
So Paris Hilton took second to this. And
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But to get a little bit more, you know, sure, in depth on this, that's my joke answer. The truth is, I wanted to find an absurd subject and take it very, very seriously and see what would happen. Because to me, there's very little funnier than taking poop seriously.
Yeah.
And so it started out very much, you know, humor. I started with this website called poopreport.com. PoopReport.com, which is for people to share funny stories of things that have happened in the bathroom. And I'm not talking about, like, Larry Craig-style bathroom experiences. More like, you know, you ate too much Taco Bell and you're almost home, but you get stuck in traffic, you know, that court sort of thing. So my interest was very much just absurd humor. But once I started researching the book, I realized that this is really an undiscovered country. There's really a lot of fascinating details about the subject that no one has seemed to cover.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it is. So you know.
Well, what has not been covered about our little tawny friends?
Tawny. You make it sound like a fine port wine. I like that.
Our corny friends, our nutty friends.
There you go. Well, my first revelation, the thing that really opened my eyes, was learning about the history of the toilet. And, you know, mostly we think that it was probably a tool of sanitation, that it must have been invented to save us from disease or something like that. But that's not the origin. The origin is actually really fascinating. It comes to us from Victorian England in the late 18th century when, if you remember your history books, the Victorians were really into morality and really into being prim and proper because they were trying to distance themselves from the rest of the classes of their society who were, you know, to get really into history, were becoming upwardly mobile from the Industrial Revolution.
Uh-huh.
And so there was a desire to pretend like their bodies were different from other bodies in society so that, you know, this guy who just built a factory, he might be rich and might have money, but he doesn't have the body of a Victorian proper gentleman. And so there was a desire for a device that would make it like fecal matter, like poop, was invisible. And a couple of inventors in the time, around the 1770s, 1780s, saw that there was a real demand for a device that would make waste invisible. And so that's what the toilet does. If you think about it, it goes in this little bowl, and you press a button, and water carries it away, and you never have to see it again.
Waste makes haste, as it were.
Yeah, exactly.
And
waste is a terrible thing to mind.
Nice. Nicely countered. And we kept to it ever since. Now, I'm curious about the ergonomic design because I was watching some program a couple of years ago on TV, of all places, because that's where programs tend to be. But it was about toilets, and it was about the ergonomic nature of the way toilets were built, and they say that they're not actually ideal for most people. I mean, it would seem, okay, you sit down and boom, but they say, no, it should be on a tilt or some kind of weird thing.
It should be much more dramatic than that. The human body is designed for squatting when it comes to elimination.
Okay.
The way the rectum works is it's actually kind of...
I love this. I'm sorry. Yes.
This is good stuff. This should be on NPR. I don't know what we're doing right now.
Rectum? We should have killed him. Okay.
Yeah. The rectum is designed to act like a shelf. So when you're standing, the weight of the waist is supported by this bodily shelf that comes from the rectum. And as you get down in the squatting position, the shelves kind of retract to open up and let things pass through freely.
Okay.
But in the sitting position, things are only about halfway open. So when you're going to the bathroom, you're actually pushing against your own body. And the lower the toilets, the closer you are to the squatting position, then you're going to be okay. But the fact is, we have to push hard in our society. And it's partly because of our diet. We don't eat enough roughage, just to generalize. But it's also because we're fighting against your own body. And in Eastern countries, places where they squat, they have much less instances of hemorrhoids than we do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Hemorrhoids is just a burst blood vessel because you've been pushing too hard.
But here's the thing. It was odd because the thing that I heard about the design of toilets is not even that they're going to be a squat thing, but it's for older people who have trouble sitting down or getting up. They should just be able to kind of lean and have that be... but you're saying no, it should actually be even lower and more, well, technically uncomfortable.
Because, it's hard. I've tried squat toilets because I've done some traveling in Eastern countries, and they're really difficult for us to use because we didn't grow up using them.
Right.
And so our leg, or speaking for myself at least, my leg muscles just aren't strong enough. I'm just not flexible enough to balance in that kind of position.
Yeah.
But in the East, even the older people, once they get really old, they still have the muscles. They're doing squat thrusts every single day, maybe two or three times a day.
Yeah, that I'd like to see.
They can do it. But so.
And when did they wipe? Did they wipe in that, or did they stand up and wipe?
Well, depends on what you mean by wiping. They don't actually use toilet paper in the Eastern countries.
Okay.
Well, we scoff. But let me ask you.
Yeah, I'm scoffing.
Let's say you were going to the bathroom and through some terrible mishap, you got poop on your arm.
Yes.
What would you do?
Wash off my arm.
You'd wash it off. You wouldn't take a piece of paper and smear it off and then, maybe not quite, take another piece of paper and smear it a little bit more and another piece of paper and smear it more until you couldn't see it. No, of course not. You'd wash it off. And that's what the people in the East, they look at us and they think, you guys don't wash yourselves. You just smear it until you can't see it anymore.
Oh, I see. Well, yeah, this is why a lot of the European toilets have that. The last time I really talked in depth about this kind of thing, I had a spokesperson on from Toto, the Toto company, because they created this washlet toilet. Yes, I was fascinated by this and was very happy to have her on. And it's this bowl which has a warming agent and then water. It's like a bidet also. The water shoots up, hits you in the pooper, and that supposedly cleans you out as much as anything else.
Absolutely.
And then it dries you very nicely. I don't even know what the hell else. It feeds you breakfast. Unfortunately, it feeds it to you rectally, but that's a totally other...
Hey, it's a step at a time, right?
Yeah, right.
And actually, in Japan, where Toto originates, they get even fancier than that. They have toilets that will supposedly analyze your urine and then, email you the results of whatever you can learn about yourself.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's like your IQ is 128.
Exactly.
And you have too much sugar in your diet.
And you have osteoporosis. This is Dave Prager, the author of Poop Culture, How America is Shaped by Its Grossest National Product, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Why do so many people see pooping as, quote-unquote, a shameful act? This is one of the questions I'm supposed to ask you from your website. By the way, the website is poopthebook.com. Poopthebook.com. So one of the questions is, why is there shame associated? Is it because of the Victorians?
It comes from the Victorians, but it's more like So the form of the toilet was created based on an ideology of making waste disappear. Now, after we learned about germ theory and realized that waste transmits disease and we shouldn't have it going into our water,
yeah.
Then we kind of adopted the toilet for sanitation use. And suddenly, instead of being a tool of the elite, it was a tool of everybody. But it still retained the form that was based on the ideology. So even though now we're much more open about it than the Victorians were, and our society has changed, we still have this ideological apparatus in our bathroom.
Well, are you saying that the cultures way before what we're talking about is the Western modern era? Are you saying other
yeah.
cultures had absolutely no problem with making doo-doo? I mean, they just go behind a tree. I mean, they still go behind a tree.
No, there's always been a push to...
Push being the operative term, yeah.
You're going to get me on every one of these, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's always been a push in many cultures. There's been a balance between... shame in the body. It's like it partly comes from religion. There's a lot of influences. But what made the toilet different is it's the first time that ideology was able to be matched by technology.
Hmm.
And so this is what makes our era different than the other eras.
So in other words, technology was able to keep up. People
exactly.
said, we think we need this. Technology
right.
said, oh, we can build you this.
Right.
And there
so,
it was.
So when the toilet was spread across society as a tool of sanitation only, it could have taken many forms. But the fact is, it retained this ideological form where it has to be in a private bathroom and you cannot hear what's going on. You shouldn't see what's going on. You certainly shouldn't smell what's going on in there. And the ideology has been closely associated with the infrastructure ever since.
I still think it should be right in the kitchen.
Right in the kitchen.
You eat something that has fiber.
It's like the circle of life, isn't it?
Yeah, just go in, out, there it goes. I mean, people have private bathrooms in their bedrooms, in their master bedrooms, because they don't
right.
want to walk 10 extra feet to the other bathroom.
Sure.
So it has to be that close. Well, I mean, I guess when you get older, that is kind of important.
As a measure of how much tastes have changed in, let's say 250 years, before the toilet was invented, the idea of having what is essentially the privy, the outdoor privy, in your house was shocking. You have chamber pots, which
right.
is what you would do when you just couldn't wait anymore. But the idea of building a structure in your house to poop in, my God, that's like shocking. So, you take someone from 1750, you take George Washington, and you show him the modern house, and you'd be shocked.
Okay,
because
well, yeah.
It was always in the backyard. It was something that would take some distance from the house. Also, that was for technology
yeah.
reasons, because you wouldn't poop in sewers that would whisk it away. You would poop in a cesspool, and it would just kind of sit there, and that gets pretty disgusting.
Now, let me ask, speaking of machines and things like that, one of the things you mention in your book, Poop Culture, is they built a pooping machine.
Yeah, they, being
a
an artist named Wim, mm-hmm. yes. A Dutch artist named Wim, or maybe Belgian, Dutch, I can't remember.
I have no idea. I don't even care. Okay.
a European artist named Wim Delvoye built what he called cloaca, which is essentially, like he said, a pooping machine. He teamed with a bunch of scientists and created this really elaborate machine that has chemicals and biological processes and bacteria, and you put food in one end, and it goes through all these chemicals, and out the other end comes poop.
Oh.
You can't tell the difference between his poop and human poop.
Oh, my gosh.
But this isn't a science project, and he'll be the first to tell you this isn't about science. It's about art.
I thought it was about humor. Okay, but art will work. And what is the artistic message of building a machine that actually poops and digests like a human body?
My interpretation is that it's a comment on the nature of art itself. So you go to a museum, and there's a machine that creates poop. And so you're sitting there, and you're looking at it, and suddenly you think, wait a second,
I have to go to the bathroom.
Well, after you go to the bathroom, you just think, wait a minute, I just paid $7 to come in and look at poop. Now, either this is a joke.
Hey, I pay $14. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or what is it? Just because the museum says this is art, then it's art? So what makes this machine different from Picasso? It's that kind of comment.
Okay.
And it goes much deeper than that, of course. And if you read the book, it goes. I have a whole chapter, pretty much, devoted to art and poop.
Well, yeah.
Poop in art.
Some of the names you mentioned.
Poop is entirely different.
Well,
the aesthetics
yeah.
of waste. Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's not in there.
Well, remember when? Are you're a New Yorker? Am I correct?
That's right.
So you remember back in the bad old days of Giuliani, after he had solved all the crime and he had nothing else to do,
mm-hmm.
he decided to go after art.
Right.
And in museums and stuff. And he went after, I think, Andre Serrano with the urine in on the crucifix.
Right. That's
and
right.
Then, and then the woman who put, who created a rather pretty religious Indian painting of, like, the elephant using elephant poopies.
It was actually a man named Chris O'Feely.
Oh, sorry, okay. He looked like a woman, I thought. No.
I think he had long hair. Anyway, yeah, it was... The sculpture was of the Virgin, or not the sculpture, the art.
Oh, that's right, Virgin Mary. Yeah, that was.
And it rested on a pedestal of elephant dung. And Giuliani freaked out, of course, because he likes to do that. And he said, "You know, you cannot associate the Virgin Mary with poop." Now, the artist claimed that in it was an homage to Africa, where elephant dung was considered sacred.
Right.
That may or may not be true. But what's interesting is how powerful the symbolism of poop is. It's the purest negativity in our culture.
Well, yeah,
it is. And I actually have a whole chapter devoted to that, devoted to the symbolic uses of poop. Like, for instance, remember, was it Police Academy 3? Did you see that one?
You know, that's funny. I might have, but it's not foremost in my mind.
One of the Steve Guttenberg's more forgettable pieces.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching some old Bergman movies and been checking out The Aviator. Somehow, right. Police Academy 3, it's in the lower in the pile.
Well, in about 20 years, Steve Guttenberg will be recognized for the genius he is.
Okay.
In the meantime, so there's a scene where the crotchety Lieutenant Proctor is in a porta potty, and through various machinations, the Police Academy squad lifts the porta potty up and deposits it in a stadium. And then they unbolt it, and they lift it up, and they reveal Lieutenant Proctor pooping on the toilet while reading a comic book in front of 50,000 football fans.
Yes.
Now, on the whole, it's like, so what? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is bathroom. Well, so does everybody.
It's a comedy thing, yeah.
It's a comedy thing, but when you really
stolen
analyze...
Stolen from MASH, by the way. I'm sorry?
When you think about the symbolism of it, the fact that an authority figure is no different than all of us because he poops...
Oh.
And this is, like, the most shameful thing that could happen to him.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, they also did... It's the same exact scene as in MASH, where they had Lieutenant Houlihan taking a shower.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was... that was more of a sexual thing, but it was still,
right.
Hit the gong, up goes the thing, and there's Sally Kellerman. So,
yeah.
I mean, yes, you're right in that sense, but it's also a private thing made public. One... And they're both... Very personal and private.
Right.
One is a poopy, and one is more of a sexy girl taking a shower.
Sure. There's a guy, and he's a sociologist, and I don't remember his name, even though I do quote him, who talks about life is like a stage, and you put on a persona, but what you're hiding is the true you. So you're, you put behind a mask going to the bathroom, because that is something that your character, the persona you play, does not do. Especially authority figures. The more important the authority figure is, the more easily they are to bring down by associating themselves with poop. Like, remember when George W. Bush a few years ago, maybe you saw this on the news, maybe you didn't, a photographer snapped a picture of him writing a note to somebody in a meeting saying, "We got to wrap this up. I need a bathroom break."
Yes.
Yeah. The higher they are, the more shocking it is to associate themselves with the lowest thing.
It's only a few things that he's done that I actually applaud him for. Honesty and saying, okay, we've come as far as we need to. Something's more important. I wish you would feel that way about the war. We've sent enough people over there. We don't need the surge. We don't need 160,000 guys over there. We've been there 5 years, and I really need to get to the bathroom. Let's bring them home. I would love to see that.
If presidents took a pledge where they couldn't go to the bathroom until the war was over, I think we'd have a lot less war.
And that's an even better idea than Lysa Straga. Forget the sex strike. If we just close the bathrooms until the boys are home, I think that would make a big, big difference. We are talking to Dave Prager, who is the author of Poop Culture, How America is Shaped by Its Grossest National Product. You can find out more about it at poopthebook.com. I've been looking it over, reading it a bit. I love the intro by Paul Provenza, who of course, he's the comedian, and he was also instrumental in making the Aristocrats film.
Yeah, he was the director, I believe.
Oh, that's right. He was the director. So he knows a few things about poop stories. had a true one of his own. That's kind of marvelous in the book. I want to give that away. What's the best poop story you ever heard?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I run also, in addition to my book, I run poopreport.com, which is dedicated to people sending in and sharing their bathroom stories.
Uh-huh.
And one of the funniest ones I've ever read was of this fella who, it was Thanksgiving dinner, and all the family was over, and the turkey was downstairs about ready to go out. But he had some stomach problems, so he went upstairs, and he clogged the toilet, and unbeknownst to him, the toilet overflowed, and then the drippings actually came down through the floor and just right on top of the turkey. And the story of that, the title of that story, of course, is "The Day I Ruined Thanksgiving."
Oh, that's pretty good.
If
I had, there's one story in my life. It is actually the greatest story that I have to tell about my entire life, and it does involve this. I unfortunately don't have remotely enough time to tell it now, but let's just say it involves me, the theater, and a bad meal. And
were you
there's
on stage?
I'm sorry?
You were on stage when this happened.
Oh, no. No, I think that would have been, you're right, that would have been even better. But this was close enough. And all the little details came together in such a perfect way, and such a perfectly miserable way for me in that particular evening.
And oh, man.
One day I will have to share that with you because it's pretty spectacular. It remains the most famous theater review that I've ever written because
okay,
I wrote
well,
half
well,
about the
then,
show
on,
and, yeah.
On behalf of the readers of PoopReport.com, I implore you to submit this story to our site so that the world can enjoy this incredible story.
I appreciate that. I'll get around to it as soon as I get through the other 10,000 things I do for free. But you know,
this is Dave Prager, author of Poop Culture: How America is Shaped by Its Grossest National Product, and you're listening to Days Gone By, spewing the poop on WGBB.
So, is there a sequel in the works? What's next for you, Dave Prager, and your poopage?
As I said, I've been making this transition from humor to the more serious issues, and we didn't even talk about the environmental issues, of which there are many.
Uh-huh.
I think my next book is going to be about the future of the toilet and sewage infrastructure in both the developing world and the developed world. So I'm actually going to be spending the next year in India, among other things, researching toilets and sanitation in the developing world. I'm fascinated by, because we think that the toilet is one of the ultimate achievements of modern civilization. But in a sense, all it's doing is collecting all our waste and transporting it to these billion-dollar sewage treatment plants where they can do a pretty good job of taking the water and cleaning it and putting it back into the water cycle. But there's still a lot of problems with what they're doing with the waste they collect. And I think that there might be an even better way. You know, we need like a Manhattan Project for poop. We need to really
blow it up
and revolutionize the way we collect it and the way we do something, because poop is our link to the food chain. We're at the top of the food chain, which means we should be at the bottom. We should be providing the food for the microbes, and we should be providing fertilizer for plants.
Well, not when we die, we do.
We don't. Well, we do. Okay, so we do in the sense that a lot of these sewage treatment plants will take the sludge they collect and put it on a field, and they think that that's pretty holistic. And it is in theory, but in practice, the sludge is contaminated by household chemicals, like the paint you pour down the sink, and industrial chemicals, and all sorts of crazy heavy metals that are going into the sewage systems.
Yeah.
And so what we're actually doing is we're concentrating household and municipal waste onto farm fields, where at some point it's either going to travel up into the food chain or down to the water table.
Right.
And so we're not so much eliminating the problem as
eliminating,
pushing
being,
it off
and
concentrating it in this other area.
Yeah, you mentioned.
So I want to find
the
holistic solution to this, because there's got to be a better solution than what we're doing. And there's also incredible technologies coming down the line. I read about some researchers in Penn State who are making fuel cells that use sewage as a fuel.
Finally.
So imagine if your waste was powering your house.
Well, I mean, there's all this talk about, what is it, hydrogen that George Bush is into to run cars, and they're saying that's the most ridiculous, cost-wasteful thing, I mean, aside from coal and fuel oil. And here's the idea. Hello, it's something everybody's making, literally.
Right.
It's free. People would be happy to donate it.
Yeah, exactly.
And why can't we? What an ideal idea.
It's amazing, isn't it? I'd say it's utopia, and then you'll say it's pootopia.
Oh, You know, you're better than that. Come on, make one better poop pun for us to go out on.
Oh, no, you're putting me on the spot, aren't you?
I'm putting you on the pot, as it were. Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah,
Dave
brilliant.
Prager, he's the author of Poop Culture. It's been a really, actually, surprisingly delightful to have you.
Well, thank you.
On Dave's Gone By. I wish you absolute best of luck with your upcoming sewage project, as it were. Not to mention sales of the... But where can people get Poop Culture?
Actually, they can get anywhere. It's at Barnes & Noble. It's at Amazon. It's at Borders. Wherever you want it, there you'll find the poop.
I want to thank you so much. I mean, I've been, I want to say, pleasantly surprised by how interesting this was, because I have an overwhelming interest in this topic. But you've been so well spoken about it, and amusing, but also serious. So I want to thank Dave Prager so much for getting on the pot in the neighborhood and telling us the poop on poop.
My pleasure.
I have a sad story to tell you. It may hurt your feelings a bit. Last night when I walked into my bathroom, I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen. I think I'll break off with my girlfriend. Her antics are queer, I'll admit. Each time I say, darling, I love you, she tells me that I'm full of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen. Our baby fell out of the window. You'd think that her head would be split. But good luck was with her that morning. She fell in a barrel of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen. An old lady died in a bathtub. She died from a terrible fit. In order to fulfill her wishes, she was buried in 6 feet of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen. When I was in France with the army, one day I looked into my kit. I thought I would find me a sandwich, but the darn thing was loaded with shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you're always looking. And now, folks, my story is ended. I think it is time I should quit. If any of you feel offended, stick your head in a barrel of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway. You know, I think we forgot to thank all our sponsors at the beginning of the show.
We did.
We got all of them? I think we only got...
No, we didn't. We talked about the commercial from
Minuteman Press, because I played them. So I didn't get to thank MortgagesRock.com.
Because they do.
Because they do, because you can find out about mortgages and how to get them and how to give them to your friends and relatives at MortgagesRock.com. I didn't thank Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Better than that, because there's a special...
11.72% off.
Even more. More. 15. A one-year subscription is normally...
Free.
It's not even remotely free. It's an expensive little magazine, but worth it because it's
worth
a journal...
Worth every centime, as it were.
Everything on and off Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance, and Dave's Gone By listeners get a very special rate. Go to davesgoneby.org to find out that rate.
Ooh.
And also our other sponsor is Fancy.
Fancy.
Something. Something about balloons.
Fancy balloons.
Something like that. But let's give their number so we can, just fancy in case people
balloons
want to decorate their parties.
I'm not picking up on that.
All right. I seem to remember it being Fancy Schmancy Balloons. And they do party decorations, balloon archways, centerpieces for your table for bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, weddings.
Are they any good?
Office parties. No, not really, but they support the show. So use them. 516-797-3229 is the phone.
Oh, by the way, last week we gave away a free party.
Yeah.
No one called.
I called. You didn't give me a free party.
You didn't ask for the free party.
I want the free party.
Can't have it.
Why?
Special's over.
Aww.
You work for the radio station.
That's true. See what you guys missed by not calling Jeff at Fancy Schmancy Balloons, 516-797-3229. Can't get you a free party now, but can get you a very good rate on decorating your party just right. I mean, we joke about it, but it's for real. He does a nice job, and if you need a DJ, he can hook you up with that. If you need flowers,
I can bring you to Vegas, get you tickets to wherever
you
want.
He can get you laid, ladies and gentlemen. He can find Alfonso from our pre-show.
I was just going to say.
Oh, he may still be on hold. Oh, well. Anyway, yeah, that's what you do when you're doing stuff on the fly and improv.
So really, that would make me a
what?
Who takes care of the hose?
I beg your pardon?
Who takes care of the hose? I'd be a pimp.
Oh, bring the hose.
Well, if I'm going to get them laid and set up a party,
yeah,
I'd be the pimp.
Oh, hose. Ho as in plural of ho.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like I don't even know what I thought you meant. We got to get to Inside
ho's.
Broadway. Yeah, oh.
I'm the pimp of the party world.
you're freaky styling, Jeff Goodman. And your head is like blocking the whole camera now.
Oh.
Let me have a little spot on the camera. There, thank you. Thank you so much.
Dang.
Yes. This will be airing. I can't believe it. Anyway, let's get to theater news,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen. Well, I mentioned last week...
Am I blocking your big head now?
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay.
I think my microphone is... Or, there we go. The Tony Awards, the 62nd Annual Tony Awards.
Isn't that time of year already?
Well, usually they would wait to announce when they would be until well after the new year.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah, but I wanted to mention that they're going to be held June 15th. At Radio City Music Hall, they're going to use the same producers, same director, even though the ratings have been tanking over the past couple of years. They got an Emmy like 2 years ago, so they're pretty excited about that. So they're keeping the same people. And they've added two exciting new categories to the Tonys this year. Do you know what they are?
Yeah, it's the audio, right?
Yep.
Sound design
of a play and musical.
Right.
Like you would figure they would think of a category that would be exciting. That
well, they
care
did.
About.
They did a couple of years ago. Didn't they put on the replacement part?
Which would have been a very cool category. And then
they never even nominated anyone.
Yeah. And Jonathan Pryce was really ticked off because he felt he would have been in the running when he took over for John Lithgow in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. And I think it was sparked by Reba McEntire taking over for Bernadette Peters.
And then everyone came into Chicago for their shot at it.
Yeah, right. And then it just, the category.
Right.
Would have been fun. They would have put that on the big three-hour show, not sound design.
I think it
would. No offense to sound design. It's important. And half the damn sound designers on Broadway are blasting us out of our seats. Thank you very much for nothing. But...
What?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you've got half the shows off the musicals on Broadway. You come out of there going, what? Because you can't hear anything. All your tinnitus ringing in your ears. But anyway, do you remember last year's Tony Award winners, Jeff Goodman?
Some of them.
What were they?
Spring Awakening.
Well, yeah, I knew you'd remember that one for Best Musical.
And what do you want that? What else?
Well, one Best Play, Best Revival of a Musical, and Best Revival of a Play.
The Best Play...
It's not so easy, you know. 2 weeks after the awards ceremony, everything goes out of our hands.
I'm thinking Journey's End.
That is well,
revival.
Play.
Yeah.
That is correct. Best revival. Ding, 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 ding. Now, what was the best play? Best new play.
Best new play. It wasn't one of the one woman things.
Nope. I'll give you a very easy hint. It was three plays in one, or one play in three.
Oh, that's right. That was Voyage, Shipwreck, and The New World.
Yeah, Coast of Utopia, the Tom Stoppard trilogy.
Right.
And what was the best musical revival? It didn't help, I'll tell you that. It critics liked it, audiences...
Oh, Company.
Company, the revival of Company. See, that's how much the Tonys really matter at this point. Like, less than half a year after they're over. We don't even remember what won, for the most part.
No, but, you know, well...
It helps if the shows are still running, which only Spring Awakening is of that...
Of all the Tony winners?
Yeah. Well, the Tonys... I'm not talking about the best actor and actress of all those.
Well, who was best actor in a musical?
Oh, I don't have that list. I don't even... was it Raul Esparza, or did he lose?
He lost.
To whom?
David Hyde Pierce.
Well, Curtains is running. That's kind of surprising. That's still running.
I remember that one.
But The Grey Gardens, that's gone.
Well, that one, supporting actress and supporting and lead actor.
Lead actress, right.
And so supporting actor in musical was Spring Awakening, not Jonathan Groff, the guy who I really like.
Oh, I know who you're talking
Gallagher
about.
Gallagher Jr.
John Gallagher Jr., yeah. So some of them, yes, are still there. Anyway, moving on.
Okay, sorry.
Here's another show. Speaking of losers or things that aren't going to happen. Well, it was an off-Broadway show that wanted to be a Broadway show. Then it was going to be a Broadway show, but now it's not.
Really?
Lone Star Love has closed out, or will close out of town when it finishes its run.
Oh,
this became a real cause celeb in New York, thanks to Michael Regal, who, by the way, he's the New York Post theater writer, and he was on our fall theater preview last week, or was it?
What did he do?
What did he do? Well, he broke the big story out in the hinterlands in Seattle, where the show is trying out, that the producers were having a hell of a time getting along with Randy Quaid's wife. Now, Randy Quaid is starring in this musical called Lone Star Love, and he has contractual say over pretty much every aspect of the production, which is not something an experienced producer is going to give away to his star. The reason they don't do this is you end up in a situation where Randy Quaid's wife, Evie, has her ideas about what the show should be, and the producers had theirs. And, of course, when...
How about the director? Do you have an idea?
Oh, I don't know. So Randy was doing his thing, and he wasn't doing... You know, he was doing more than the producers really wanted. He was taking it in a more dark direction, and they wanted something a little more comical, or vice versa. Either way, it became dogs and cats and fighting and blood.
Wow.
And
they can't even just replace them.
And then it broke in the New York Post. And once the story was out, it died. Because it's not as if Randy Quaid is this giant box office draw to begin with.
Yeah.
So the show is not coming to New York. Well, as Michael Regal wrote in the Post, he said either the show's going to die or they're going to replace Randy Quaid. Because he's not going to sell the tickets and he's not worth the agony that the producers are going through.
Why did they just replace Randy Quaid? That's what I don't understand.
I guess they didn't want to find someone else. And who knows, maybe he had something in his contract that says, you can't replace me. And they signed. Inexperienced producers, I guess. They're saying upcoming plans for the production will be announced when they are available. But the Belasco Theater is available, folks. Lone Star Love is not.
Who are the producers?
I don't have that in front of me.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, here's some smaller stuff. Tell me something good.
Tell me something good. Rufus.
And?
Chaka Khan
is coming to Broadway. She's going to play Sophia in The Color Purple starting sometime rather soon in November. And she's also going to be opposite gospel singer B.B. Winans, who will be playing Harpo. Never occurred to me that B.B. would be a man. But I guess he is. B.B. Winans is going to be in Color Purple opposite Chaka Khan.
And B.B. Winans is going to ask, should I hit her? Hell no!
I just think it's this gospel singer person, right? And he's going to be opposite a woman whose latest album is called Funk This. It's like the juxtaposition there. Anyway.
And is the girl from American Idol still going to be starring in it?
Oh, Fantasia? I think they'll hold on to her as long as they possibly can. Fantasia, she took the show and just brought it, apparently.
She's Bantarizhnik.
Now, speaking a little bit more of Broadway before we head off Broadway.
I love when we talk about Broadway.
Boing, 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 boing.
Yes.
Boing, boing, boing. Why don't you talk a little bit about this?
I don't know anything about this.
Oh, well.
I just know it's supposed to be a very funny comedy.
Yeah.
And Rhea Perlman was in it.
So you do know a little bit about this.
That it's coming to Broadway. It should be coming to Broadway,
it's
right?
It's a French farce that was huge in France. Had this running.
Is it about Boeing?
I think it takes place on an airline. I'm not 100% sure.
I think, yeah.
married couples and this and all that sort of farcical door slamming.
Something
thing.
Tells me there's going to be some people in the bathroom.
I guess. I'll get it.
Oh, what else is there to make fun of them? Where else are they going to go when they leave?
Oh,
the
there's an airplane. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, how do you do a farce? I mean, there's only one door, unless you're the Arabs and you're storming into the cockpit, but that's a very different
Well, no, you can go into the, if it's a wide body, then you have not two doors, but you have two access ways to the galley.
And then, of course, if you're doing a Polish production of Boing Boing, there's still the exit row. I'm stepping out for a minute. Sorry.
But also, they could be going into the wrong bathrooms, you know, because they're like four or five.
There's no such thing as a wrong bathroom on a plane. There really isn't, is there? No, there's no men and women. But anyway, Boing Boing, this farce from a long time ago that had this enormous run in England for years. It ran like 2,000 performances there, which now for Broadway, that's not as big a deal. But way back when,
it was
in
a
England,
big deal.
That's almost like not quite like the Mousetrap. So now finally they're bringing Boing Boing to Broadway, directed by Matthew Warchus. It's coming in the spring, this coming spring, and you've kind of got an inkling because, as you said, they revived the show recently in London. It's playing until October, and they brought in Taxi's Rhea Perlman, and the real-life wife of
Danny DeVito.
And I'll bet you, I'm not taking bets, but I wouldn't be surprised. The reason they did that is they'll bring it and her over here in
of
the
course.
Spring. What else? Speaking of off-Broadway, it's actually a Broadway thing. October 22nd, they've announced the 24-hour plays. It's going to be a 24-hour thing where it's a one-act play festival. They gather six playwrights and actors and six directors and 25 performers, and they write overnight, the playwrights do. Then they all meet in the early morning, they rehearse, they do a tech rehearsal, and then 8 o'clock at night, literally less than a day after the whole thing started, they put on these one-act plays. And some of the famous people that they've got to do all this include Billy Crudup, Rachel Dratch from Saturday Night Live, David Cross from Mr. Show, he's a very funny guy, Lily Taylor, Elizabeth Berkley, Mariska Hargitay from one of the Law and Orders, Julia Stiles, Rosie Perez of the show that you're really looking forward to, which is...
The Ritz playing at Studio 54 now.
Did it start previews?
Yes, it did.
So there you go. And Nellie McKay will also be taking part. And the writers, include Warren Light, David Lindsay-Abaire, and Teresa Rebeck. So that's October 22nd at the American Airlines Theater, the 24-hour plays. They do it. It's all done in one 24-hour cycle.
What theater is that?
The American Airlines. The one that the roundabout owns. Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's a roundabout production or if they're just giving them the space. Little more Broadway news. Happy first anniversary to A Chorus Line, opened October 5th, 2006, at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater, revival of the Ed Clay Band, Kirkwood, Dante, and Marvin Hamlish musical. Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
I thought it was okay. The revival, I thought, it felt more like watching people in a play than watching the real people, which the original did.
Okay.
This very much didn't have the same original feel.
It wasn't creation, it was a recreation.
Yeah.
I felt that. I thought it was well done, but it didn't. There was nothing particularly inspiring about it. I felt like I was revisiting an old friend.
Yeah.
But whoa, wow, this is exciting to see.
And of course, the stuff that shocked us in the 70s wasn't really shocking
anymore. I'm gay, and I had to dress up in women's clothes for a job. Ooh. That's his big monologue, which I guess was so profoundly.
Don't make fun of Paul.
Why?
Don't make fun of Paul.
Because Paul is the serious part of the second act. If his thing isn't
I'm just joking.
Okay. Just, whatever. Anyway, last
hello
thing.
Hello, 12. Hello, 13.
Goodbye, love. Or hello, love. No, hello, love.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Mets. And finally.
Time to grow. Time to get.
Now. When am I going to grow? No, I can't say that word on this station. But anywho.
Cuts.
We have a Broadway opening this week, this Thursday. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had a Broadway show open. And opening at the Biltmore Theater, Manhattan Theater Club's production of a show called Mauritius. We have Mauritius Wishes coming to us. It's a dark comedy by the aforementioned Teresa Rebeck. And it's going to star Bobby Cannavale, who you might know from Will and Grace, and also
Will and Grace?
He was the boyfriend of Will towards the end of the series. He was the cop.
Oh.
And he was in The Station Agent, the film. Good actor. And also Alison Pill is in it. You'll remember her from The Lieutenant of Inishmore.
She's a pill.
And F. Murray Abraham from Amadeus is going to star in Mauritius. It's about half-sisters and their rare stamp collection.
That's
oh, Lord. Anyway, that's Inside Broadway. We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TogoTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. We're back with Dave's Gone By on this, well, it's now Monday morning, October 1st. Happy October, everybody.
Woo!
12:02 a.m. on... Jeff, give us a little legal ID. You're so good at
oh,
this.
Oh. You're listening to WGBB Freeport.
Yeah, that's it.
The station for inspiration and perspiration.
And constipation. If you, well, no, not today. This is the opposite of constipation.
We're having diarrhea day today?
It's diarrhea day. we're very fluid today. We're feeling very loose and fluid, and everything's just coming out of us very, well, pleasantly, as it were. We're bowling.
Well,
over.
We're sorry that the
gospel night
is well, we're having diarrhea day.
Well, diarrhea evening. Anyway, today's episode has been entitled Fecal Matters, and we thank Dave Prager, the author of Poop Culture, for being part of it. And you can get Poop Culture pretty much anywhere, the usual Amazon and all the Barnes & Noble and places like that. It's very cool. I've given it a look. And again, it's a serious book. It's about a serious topic, but it's obviously done in a fun, playful, and poopy way. And his website is really, really cool, too. Dave Prager,
P-R-A-E-G-E-R.
I want to thank our sponsors once again. I know we kind of waited until a little late in the show to do that this time, but thanks again to MortgagesRock.com because they rock, because they give you and your family and your friends mortgages and teach you how to be a mortgage broker. You know, everybody thinks, oh my God, the real estate bubble and it's collapsing and everything. No, it isn't. It's just collapsing on all the bad loans to people who couldn't pay the loans back in the first place. People are still going to need houses. People still have to move for their jobs, for their family, because they're getting older. They want something different. People still need loans for mortgages and other things. Teach them or learn how to do it and give it to them so you can have the commission. MortgagesRock.com.
Of course they do.
They do, indeed. They're nice people, too. And it isn't just a website. There's an actual office on the South Shore of Long Island with real people who call, who answer your questions. Jeff, do you want to do the some more of the sponsors?
Sure. Please? I would love to talk about the Bible of Broadway. What's it called? Say it, Dave. Performing Arts Insider. The Bible of Broadway.
Yes. Keep going.
Buy it. You get a discount.
Yeah, you get a very, very big discount. Normally, a year of Performing Arts Insider, 21 issues, is $280. But, you know, for Dave's Gone By listeners...
You get it for $279.
No, no, no. You get...
$278?
$200. You save
$80. $80?
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good deal for 21 issues. So, go to davesgoneby.org, or you can actually go to performingartsinsider.com, performingartsinsider.com.
Now, if you have some papers that need to be copied, where would we go?
Hewlett.
Minuteman Press.
Press. 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, right next
it's
to?
Next to Lowman Shoe.
And across the street from?
Lowman.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And Hewlett Minuteman Press has been family-owned for about 26, 27 years now.
I think it's more like 30 years.
Could be.
But in that family, 40.
But they're a great bunch of people, the Toron family. Mike and Dave, I know them well. They're really great supporters of the show.
You know Dave and Mike.
I know Dave and Mike so well.
They've copied my shoes.
Did they do a good job? I bet they did a great job on their brand new...
color copier.
Their brand new fabulous color copier. And remember, every Dave's Gone By listener gets 10% off every job, big or small, at Hewlett Minuteman Press.
And don't forget to get some shoes at Lowman's,
and
next door and across the street.
And what else? Oh, yeah, and if you need your party decorated or done anything to, fancy schmancy balloons.
Are they any good?
I think they're pretty good. I've seen pictures of their work.
They're adequate.
They're adequate. Well, they're adequate, but a good price.
But I hear they have helium. No one has helium.
That's right. They've skirted by the helium shortage. So if you have a party and you want some balloons, what's that number?
That would be 516-797-3229. I would go buy my balloons there now because no one else has helium, and Fancy Schmancy has helium and balloons.
Yes, they do indeed. And
is someone prank calling us?
So, or someone's trying to call and not getting through. So if you're trying to call and not getting through, sorry, you're not getting through.
It's probably someone from Gospel Night. We'll be here later.
Okay. Well, we'll hold down the fort. Jeff Goodman and myself, I'm Dave Lefkowitz, co-hosting this edition of Dave's Gone By. It's our 240th episode of the show.
That's 20 dozen to those of us in the dozens.
What were the dozens? Isn't that ranking on your mother and things like that?
What?
I think that was the name. Like, George Carlin did a bit about it. The dozens was like, your mother is so blah, 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 when she does it, that's the Rankin thing. It was used to be called the dozens. I don't know why.
Would you like to hear a George Carlin bit?
No. I would love to, but not on the air. Not even at midnight. Or actually, 12:07 a.m. on WGBB. I will remind everybody, as I did very early in the show, if you just tuned in, that this is the big week for us. This is the TV week when we premiere two different shows on Long Island Cablevision. On Wednesday morning at 7:30, it's Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour, except it's only a half hour. It's hard to describe, except the rabbi does his own brand of spiritual Judaism, and you have to see it to believe it. 7:30 on Wednesday mornings, Channel 20, on Long Island Cablevision of Woodbury. Won't be on satellite, won't be on Time Warner, just on Long Island Cablevision. And then Friday mornings at 7:30 on Channel 20, Dave's Gone By on TV. It's this program, not this particular one, or this one will be on in a bit, but it can be a show from 5 years ago, a show from 3 years ago, or it can be a brand new episode of Dave's Gone By on TV, the radio show on television. Thank everybody.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome.
For listening to this 240th episode of Dave's Gone By. Thanks again to Dave Prager, author of Poop Culture. Thank you so much to my beloved and wonderful wife, Joyce, for all her help and all her love every week and every day of the year. Reciprocate it right back at her. I want to thank also, again, all our sponsors, but we did that. And I want to thank, certainly, or remind everybody of a few things. First of all, you can listen to a bunch of vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By at theaterpod.com. That's theater with an E-R, theaterpod.com. You can hear it. There are absolutely free 25 episodes. You can go backwards and forwards and play them over and over again 24/7, theaterpod.com. Also, bunch of things on YouTube now, not just what we've been telling you about for a long time, that Jeff Goodman and Charles Gross host a Manhattan cable television program about the theater called Two on the Isle. And you can see clips of that on YouTube, and I'm also a guest on some of those shows. So you can see me there on YouTube with Jeff and Charlie in Two on the Isle. And, as I said, and I'll say it again, starting this Wednesday morning, 7:30, it's Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour, 7:30 a.m., Channel 20 on Long Island Cablevision. And then Friday, 7:30 in the morning, starting this Friday, October 5th, it's Dave's Gone By on TV, again, on Cablevision, Channel 20. Wow, and I think, and also listen, I think Thursday nights at 9:30 p.m. on this station, WGBB, for Filler Up. It's a half hour of music chosen and narrated by yours truly, Dave. It was a show that was on a couple of years ago, and they brought it back. So I'm very happy about that. Once a week, Filler Up, and it tends to air Thursday nights at 9:30 on this station. Okay, we have to go. Sorry, folks, but we will be back next Sunday, October 7th, 2007, with the 241st episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz
and Jeff Goodman
wishing you good night, so long, September,
bye-bye Mets,
and
good Bye.
No. No, we're going to do it again.
Oh, I can't believe it.
See, this is what happens when you don't concentrate. This is when you do, like, 10 different things at one time.
I'm just trying to get something done, and I say gone.
Yeah, we're going to do this again. Gone. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you a good night. So long, September, and...
Bye-bye, Mets. And gone. Bye.
Another seat, another bowl, another log comes out my hole. It's really pleasing when I'm a-squeezing and making poopies. I pull my shorts below my rump. I read the sports and take a dump. It's brown and shiny, straight from the hiney that's making poopies. Sometimes I sit for ages, waiting so patiently. Though my intestine rages, nuggets are all I see. I eat some bran and have some juice. Run to the can and shake it loose. I wipe my tushy when it gets mushy from making poopies. My little rectum, it does the job. Be it a hot dog or just a pub, it's such a passion to feel the splashing of making poopies. I grit my teeth and hug my gut while underneath I hear a splut. It always happens with all my crappings. I'm making poopies. One day my gut got swollen. I chalked it up to gas. But when I touched my colon, blood shot out of my ass. Now I feel woe, and it's a drag. 'Cause when I go, it's in a bag. I miss the odors of all the floaters when making poopies. So listen here, I recommend that once a year, check your rear end. Just find a docto to do a procto. He'll stick a finger of your gazinga. You'll scream and yelp, but it may help in making poopies.